Four lines on the bottom of Daf Nun on Mabez, and Al Gabur quotes from our Mishnah on Daf Mem Tes on Mabez, and the Mishnah stated that there was machlekes between Rab Tafid and Tanakama b'negei the Shir Vayna. The Tanakama held that the Shir Vayna is 1/6, and Rab Tafid held that the Shir Vayna is 1/3. And there was also a second machlekes between the Tanakama and Rab Tafid, as the Mishnah stated at Masay Mutal Hachzer, until what point can you be chayza? And the Mishnah stated that the Tanakama holds ad b'chadei shiur l'taga l'kreivay, that the only time that you have a right to be chayza is only up until the time that you had the ability to show this to another merchant or to your relatives in order to get a price quote and in order to find out that you were cheated. However, Rav Tafin told the Tagri Lud, Amalahem, Kol Yoyim Mutalachzer, that you could be chayza the entire day. And let's recall that when Rav Tafin told the Tagri Lud that the Shir Vayna is not 1/6 but 1/3, they were very happy. And then when he told them that the amount of time that you have in order to be chayza is the entire day, they were no longer happy with Rav Tafin. And Amalahem, they told him, and they went back and passed like the Chachamim. Our Gemara begins, Rav Nachman teaches us, that this entire machlek is between Tanakam and Rav Tafin as to the statute of limitation, as to when someone could claim that they were defrauded, is only legabit lekech, and only relevant to the buyer. However, if the seller was the one that was defrauded, and the buyer underpaid for this merchandise, then the din is that it could be chayza forever. And Rashi says, el lekech, shemekhe biyad, because he has the merchandise in his hands, and he could immediately show it to his relatives or to another merchant. However, that since he doesn't have the merchandise in his hand any longer, and he can't show it to anyone to get a price quote, he won't recognize that he was actually cheated until he sees a similar talis that's being sold for a higher price. And therefore, Rav Nachman teaches us that a seller can always be chayza as long as all the circumstances remain the same. However, as Rashi points out, however, if the price of a talis goes up in between the point where he sold the talis and the time that he finds another talis which is similar and he finds out that that price was higher, of course he can't be chayza any longer. And the Rif also points out that if the seller already found out the proper price for this item and he wasn't chayza, then even Rav Nachman agrees that he no longer can be chayza. The Gemara continues, name Misele, let us bring the Raya from our Mishnah to the din of Rav Nachman, as the Mishnah stated, Chazul Dibri Chachamim, that once the Tagri Lud heard the second member of Tafin, and they heard that he could be chayza the entire day, then they weren't happy any longer, and they went back and they passed like the Chachamim. And the Gemara points out, if Rav Nachman is correct that the Meichel could always be chayza, and we continue on Dafnun Aleph and Aleph, Mishum Hachi Chazru, then it makes sense that the Tagri Lud would have been chayza. As Rashi points out, that the Tagri Lud were generally sellers, and therefore they were much happier with the Psak of the Chachamim than Rav Tafin. According to the Chachamim, those buyers that they would actually cheat would only have until they were able to show the merchandise to another merchant or to their relatives, and only until that point could they be chayza. However, according to Rav Tafin, they would be able to be chayza the entire day. And as Rashi points out, that the Tagri Lud weren't going to benefit from the added time of Rav Tafin's statute of limitations, Shehei Mayim Meichrin, because the Tagri Lud were generally sellers, and therefore they weren't going to receive any benefit by the fact that Rav Tafin extended the statute of limitations, Shafil Rabbanan Lo Ilum Chayzrin, because even Rabbanan agreed to Rav Tafin that a seller can always be chayza. Therefore, the psak of Rav Tafin, which was only relevant to buyers, was going to be a detriment to the Tagri Lud. However, the Gemara continues with its raya to Rav Nachman, Eli Yamrit Meichanami Kalekechdami, but if you're going to say that a seller and a buyer both have a limited time to be chayza, and they both have a statute of limitations, my nafkalu mina, so why would they care that Rav Tafin actually extended the statute of limitations for the buyer if it also extended it for them, and therefore they also gain from this extended statute of limitations of Rav Tafin. And as the Gemara says, and just like the Rabbanan made a takana for the buyers, they also made a takana for the sellers. Therefore, they would also have a benefit from the Psak and Rav Tafin in a case where they made a price mistake and they actually were defrauded and they sold the item for less, that they would be able to be chayza for an entire day instead of only up to the point where they could show it to their karav or to another merchant. And the Gemara responds that's still not a raya from a Mishnah to the Shita Rav Nachman. It's even though it may be true that there is no difference between a buyer and seller, and the statute of limitation even applies to sellers, and even so, the Tagri Lud were not happy with the Psak of Rav Tafin, because Tagri Lud was Shechir Tatoh, as Lemaisa, the merchants of Lud, were not people that would make price mistakes, and therefore they didn't need any Takana for themselves, and they didn't feel that the Takana of Rav Tafin actually helped them at all, because they felt that they would never make a price mistake, therefore they would never need the extended statute of limitations that Reb Tafrin gave to them. However, certainly these Tabri Lud were always trying to get the best price for their merchandise, and therefore they would raise the price as much as possible, and they were always concerned that the buyer would come back, and the buyer would claim that they charged them the price of Aina, and therefore they were much happier with the Psak of the Rabbanon, because Rabbanon gave a much more limited time frame for the statute of limitations. The buyer would only be able to come back and claim that he was defrauded up until the point that he showed it to his relative or to another merchant. Of course, they weren't happy with the Psak of Reb Tafrin, because Reb Tafrin extended that statute of limitation and allowed a buyer the ability to come back and claim that there was price fraud up until the end of the day. And the Gemara continues with the story that will be relevant to this din of Reb Nachman, as a specific chay to Reb Bachama, the landlord of Reb Bachama, Zobin Chamer Vitar, sold wine and he made a mistake in the price, and therefore he undercharged for the wine. And Ashkei Davar Otzev, and Reb Bachama saw that his landlord was depressed. Amalei, so Reb Bachama said to his landlord, "Amai Yitzivus, why are you depressed?" And Amalei, and he said to Reb Bachama, "Zvini Chamer Vitoi, that I sold my wine, I made a mistake, and I charged too little." Amalei and Reb Bachama responded to his landlord, "Zil Hadabach, that why are you being depressed? If you could go and be chayza." Amalei and the landlord responded to Reb Bachama, "Hashoy li Yosef Mechrei She'er L'Taga L'Kravi L'Maisa, I already waited more than the time that I could show it to a merchant or to my kravim, and we passing like Rabbanan Mishnah, and therefore I no longer have the right to go and be chayza. I'm already barred by the statute of limitation from making a claim." So Shadlu Kamed Reb Nachman, they sent the shayla in front of Reb Nachman. Amalei Reb Nachman said, "Leishon L'Lekeach, the only time that we have the statute of limitation is only for a buyer. But a seller could always be chayza, and since you were the seller, therefore you could still be chayza." And the Gemara continues, and the Rishonim point out that the next four lines are not the lashon of the Gemara and the lashon of Rabbi Yehuda Igoin. And the Gemara states, "My taima, why is there a difference between a lekeach where the statute of limitation applies and a seller where the statute of limitation doesn't apply? As lekeach mechav biyadai, by a buyer he has the merchandise in his hands. Kal hecha da azel mechvilei, wherever he goes he could show it to the person. Va amrilei ita ilagta, and his relatives or another merchant could tell him if he made a mistake or if he wasn't defrauded. Meichad lei naka mechav biyadai, however the meicha who no longer has the merchandise in his hands and therefore he doesn't have the statute of limitations because adam mistramlei zvinta kizvinasa viyada ita viloita, that the only way that he'll actually be able to check out if he was actually defrauded is only if he'll find the exact item in someone else's store, and then he'll be able to see that the price was much higher, and therefore we didn't make a statute of limitation, and the meicha could always be chayza, at least up until the point that he actually found out the actual price, and he immediately took the buyer to Beis Din, and he claimed that he was defrauded. And the Gemara continues with another story. There was a person that had silk ribbons to sell, and when he was in the marketplace, Kari Shisa, he called out that he wants to sell it for six, but it was really valued at $5. And of course, if he would have actually sold it, then the mekach would be batal because it was more than the share of ribbis, at least according to the Tanakhama, because it's 20% and it's over 1/6. But certainly he was just using this as a negotiation tactic, and if someone would have offered him $5.50, then he would have taken it. Of course, $5.50 is less than the share of Aina, as according to Tanakhama, the share of Aina is 1/6. By charging $5.50, it's either 10% of the original purchase price, which is 10% milagav, or it's 55 cents of the actual purchase price, which is of course only 11%, and therefore it's less than the share of Aina. The Gemara tells us, and then a person came and he wanted to buy this item, and he said, if I will pay him $5.50, and certainly since it's less than the share of Aina, so therefore automatically Mechila will apply, and I won't be able to make any claim, and I won't be able to get back the 50 cents that I was overcharged, and therefore he had a great Eitzah, and he said, I will actually give him his asking price and I will pay him $6. At that point, it'll be a regular case of Aina. And then prior to the expiration of the statute of limitations, I'll take him to a Din Torah and I'll be able to get back the full value of the Aina. And therefore, it'll come out, I'll only pay him $5 instead of $6. So also, Kamei Rava, they came to a Din Torah in front of Rava, and he said, the only time that we had the Din of Aina is only when someone buys something from a merchant. But if someone buys something from an owner and from someone that's not in the business, then there is no din of Aina at all. And Rashi points out, that the things that he owns are things that he loves, and therefore he really doesn't want to sell it unless he's forced to sell it or unless he gets a very good price. And therefore it's as if he actually was mefarish, that you should know, I know that I'm charging too much, that there is no din of Aina. Since in our case, the seller was just a regular balabas and was just selling one of his items and he was selling his silk ribbons, therefore the entire din of Na doesn't apply. And the Gemara continues with another story. There was a person that had nose rings that he was selling, and he called down in the marketplace to sell for $60, even though he knew that the value was $50. And once again, if he would have received $55, he would have taken it. Once again, a similar story happened where a person had a great eitzah, and Asahu Gavra, and this person came, and he said, if I will negotiate with him and I will actually pay him $55, then have a mechila, then automatically there will be mechila as it's less than the share right now, ethylene shisin, so I'll pay him his asking price, I'll give him $60, that beladina, and then within the statute of limitations, I'll take him to the interior and I'll get back to full $10. The Gemara tells us, also come to Rav Chista, instead of going to Rava, they went to Rav Chista, and Amalei, and Rav Chista said the same din, the only time that we have a din aina is only when you buy it from a merchant, but if you buy an item from a balabais, there is no din aina. It's still understood that the price that a balabais will sell an item for will be more expensive than the general marketplace. Therefore, the din of aina doesn't apply at all. And the Gemara continues, Amalei Rav Dimi responded, Yasha, that you're correct. Bechina Rav Elazar, Yasha, and Rav Elazar also said that this is a correct psak. The Gemara continues and asks, Vananthan, but we will see in the Mishnah in a moment that Kashem Shainola headed, that just like there's aina for a headed and for someone that's not a merchant, Kachainola Taga, there's also a din of aina by a merchant. As the Gemara states, Man headed, what does the Mishnah mean when it refers to a headed? La balabayas, it must be referring to a balabayas, and the Mishnah tells us that there is a din of aina. So Rav Chista, and Rav Chista comes to defend his shita, and he says, Bitsuraisa, that the Mishnah will be talking about a specific case where a person is selling canvas clothing, and that is something where he's not attached to, and he doesn't have sentimental value. And therefore, the din of aina do apply even to a balabayas when selling canvas clothing. However, the dinim of aina do not apply when a balabayas is selling the kelim of his home, because over there he has sentimental value, and therefore he would only sell it for a value that's higher than the market price. Ayin Rashi b'sedraisa big dick canvas. We're talking about canvas begadim ha'imdim libaka, which the standard was to sell, and it wasn't something that he was attached to, and he didn't have any sentimental value. We begin the new Mishnah echad lekech ve'echad amicha yesh la'ina, that there is no difference between a buyer and seller, and the din of aina applies both to a buyer and to a seller. And if a buyer was overcharged, then the din of aina applies, and if a seller was undercharged, then the din of aina would apply. Kashem she'ino lehedit, kach ino letaga, and Tanakama holds that just like there's a din of aina for a hedit and for a balabais, the same din would apply for a merchant. And as the Gemara previously explained, that this case of the Mishnah is talking about when a balabais is selling canvas clothing, and therefore he doesn't have sentimental value, and the din of aina would apply. And the reason why the Tanakama says this idea is because he's coming lafuke from the din of Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda states in a nolitaga that the dinim of aina do not apply to a merchant. And even though the shita Rabbi Yehuda sounds to be counterintuitive, however, we will see in a moment that the Gemara will explain the svara of Rabbi Yehuda. And the Mishnah ends, Mishahuta love yada al yaina, and the person that was defrauded has the upper hand, and therefore, if the buyer was defrauded and he was overcharged by exactly a shtus, ratza umule tenli ma'isai, if the buyer wants, he could cancel the transaction and he could tell the seller he wants his money back, or tenli ma'ashin sunny, where the buyer could ask for a refund from the seller and get back the shtus that he was cheated. And we will see in the Gemara that even though the Mishnah started off and said, Mishahuta love yada al yaina, and it seemed that either the buyer or the seller would have these options, and then the Mishnah gave an example which was only relevant to the buyer and not to the seller, and the Gemara will discuss this point. And the Gemara begins, Minadi Mili, how do we know that the din of aina applies to a buyer as well as to a seller? The Tana Rabbanan, as we learned to the Braisa, the Pasuk B'negei Aina in Pashat Bruchot Kosei states, V'chisimku Rimimku La'misecha, Ikoino Miyada Misecha, Al-Toinu Ishas Achiv. And as the Braisa teaches us, V'chisimku Rimimku La'misecha, Al-Toinu, that the Torah is teaching you, when you sell something to your friend, then don't cheat your friend. And therefore we see that there's an issa for a seller to defraud a buyer. And the Braisa states, we only see that if the buyer was defrauded, that he could claim that it was price fraud, and that's his also. This Adam Meichem Minayin, how do you know that the din of price fraud applies even to a seller? And the Pasuk also says, or if you're buying something, then the buyer should not defraud the seller. The Gemara now points out, and the Torah had to tell us the din that Lekech has an Issa to defraud a seller, and the Torah also had to tell us the din that the seller has an Issa to defraud a buyer. The Ikas Rachman as if the Torah would only teach us that it's also for a seller to defraud a buyer, then we would say because he is in the best position to know the actual price, and therefore it's also for him to defraud a buyer, but a buyer who doesn't know the actual price, maybe the Torah did not include a buyer in the Issa of Leisainu. Maybe the Torah requires that a seller has to make sure that he knows what he's doing and he's selling selling it for the proper price, and the Torah did not put this obligation on the buyer, and therefore the Torah had to tell us that the din of Eino applies to a buyer as well, and it's also for a buyer to cheat a seller and to defraud a seller. The Gemara continues, Ikas Rachman Lekech, and the Torah would only tell us the din of Eino benegayer buyer, Mishum de Kakani, the Amri Inchi, Zavanta Kanisa, and maybe that's because he was the buyer, and as people say, that someone that buys something is always the winner, as Lemaisa he now has a chepetz, and it's always better to have assets, and therefore the Torah says it's not proper for a buyer to defraud a seller. Maybe since when a seller sells his assets, people say that a person that sells always is on the losing side. So maybe the Torah had rachmanis on a seller, and they didn't make the issa of leisainu on a seller, and he can defraud a buyer. And as Rashi says, what is the difference between a buyer and a seller? Zavanta kanisa in lekach b'chepetz hameskayim schar hu etzcha shlo yitzisa hameis b'yitzia v'ayu meskayim lach, as money could be used, but this asset will remain. And zavin oivid mechata chepetz shalcha, when someone sells his item, harei at the nifsad, then the seller is always considered on the losing side, sheyichlu hameis b'yitzia, as although he got money, but people tend to spend money, and therefore ultimately he'll be left with nothing. And therefore the Gemara says, sricha, that is why the Torah had to say that the issa v'ayna applies to a buyer as well as to a seller. The Gemara continues and quotes from our Mishnah that although the Tanakhama said, Kashem Shay Nola Hedir, Kachin Nola Taga, however, Behuda Oime, Inay Nola Taga, and the Gemara asks, Meshub Shu Taga, Inay Nola, because he's a merchant, therefore there's no din of Eino, Lachir Punk Faket, that once he's a merchant, he's in the best position to know that he's overcharging, and Lachir, the din of Eino should apply. And the Gemara explains, Amr Nachman, Amr Rav, Amr Nachman said the name of Rav, Taga Safsa Shanu, that our Mishnah is specifically talking about a case where there was a merchant who used to buy merchandise and sell it very quickly, and he used to flip merchandise for a very small profit. And as Rashi says, Safsa koinu meicha miyad tamid, that he's always buying and selling very quickly. And certainly there were many times that he made money on the spread, and there was definitely arbitrage involved. However, Lemaisa, this was his business, and therefore he understood very well that there would be times when he wasn't able to move product very quickly, and he wanted to get rid of it in order to be able to raise capital and be able to do other deals. And as the Gemara explains, my time and what is the reason of Rabbi Yehuda? Because Medi Yada, this type of a taga and this type of merchant understands that Zavinte Kamishavya, and since he's in this business, therefore he certainly knows what the value is of this product. And number two, he just bought it because this person buys and sells very quickly, and therefore certainly he knew what the market price was. And certainly he was meichel the price differential to the buyer. And why is it that he undercharged? Why is it if he was a professional that he actually sold this for a loss? Because Lemaisa he saw another deal that he wanted opportunity to buy. Because he wanted to chop that opportunity, therefore he had to raise capital and he sold this item for a lower price. And Lemaisa the Gemara is bothered that if he did this on purpose and he wanted to be meichel, so why would he go back and try to renege and try to retract? But ultimately that deal potentially didn't go through, and that's why he wanted to get his merchandise back. Therefore he went and claimed that he was defrauded, that the buyer underpaid for this product, but Lemaisa he really did this on purpose. Therefore Rabbi Yehuda holds that in a nola taga, according to the way Rabbi Nachman just explained the shita Rabbi Yehuda, then we could actually learn that when the Mishnah stated kashim shay nola hedya kachay nola taga, the Tanakhama held that just like there's a nola for a regular merchant, there is also a nola for a safsar. And Rabbi Yehuda argues and he says that a regular merchant does have a nola, but a safsar doesn't have a nola. The machlekes between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda has nothing to do with our Baal Bayis. Therefore it's possible that when the Gemara asked from this Mishnah on Rava and Rav Chista and Rav Dimi and Rav Eloza, they stated Baal Bayis ain lo yalo bano, that ain chanabi wouldn't be a question for our Mishnah, as when the Tanakhama stated kashim sheino lehedya kachay nolo taga, the word hedya is not referring to a Baal Bayis, and v'tzarech bia as to why the Gemara previously did not give this teretz. And the Gemara continues, Rav Ashi Amma, and Rav Ashi however explains the machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and Tanakhama, then Rabbi Yehuda stated ainu ino lataga, my ain lataga ino. What did Rabbi Yehuda mean when he stated that there is no din of ino for a merchant, and he actually meant that ain b'teris ino, that the standard dinim of ino doesn't apply, and the standard din of ashtos doesn't apply to a merchant, and afilu pachas mechtei ino chayza, and even if the amount of the fraud is less than ashtos, then a taga has the right to be chayza. And as Rashi explains that since his livelihood is dependent on every penny he earns, so the chumra misakin that a merchant can always be chayza. And the Gemara says, Tani Kavas Rab Nachman, the Maisa, we have a Brisa that shows that Rab Nachman's correct as to what the Machlekes is between Rabbi Huda and Tanakhama. And as the Brisa specifically states, Rabbi Huda states, Taga in lo yana, meplei shu baki, that there is no yana for Taga because he's a baki, and therefore he's in best position to know the price, and therefore he can't claim that he was defrauded and that the buyer underpaid him. And possibly since we do have the Shita Rav Ashi as to what the Machlekes is between Rabbi Huda and the Chachamim. Maybe that's why the Gemara actually didn't give this teretz previously and didn't explain the word hedyot as being a regular taga, as according to Rav Ashi, the word hedyot potentially means a balabayas. Before beginning the next Gemara, let's remember that we had a machlekes in a brisa between Rav Nosson and the Chachamim as to what the din is when a buyer overpays or a seller underpays by exactly a shtus. As our Mishnah, as well as the Gemara that we had previously, as well as the Chachamim and the brisa that we brought on Daf Nun Amud Beis, all held that if a buyer or a seller were defrauded by exactly a shtus, then the defrauded party is Yad El Yoyna and has the upper hand, and he can either cancel the transaction, or if he was the buyer, then he could ask for a refund, and if he was the seller, then he could ask and demand for the buyer that the buyer pays him the extra shtus. And then we saw that Rava brought the Shita Rav Nosson that shtus is koino machzerina, that if a person is defrauded, then they don't have a choice, and the din is that they're certainly going to be koino since they were only defrauded exactly a shtus. But the din is that the buyer could demand a refund, and the seller could ask for the difference in price, and he can demand that the buyer pay him the extra shtus. The Gemara continues and quotes from Mishnah, Mishahut love Yad Al Yoyna, that whoever was defrauded has the upper hand, and the Mishnah gave a case where the buyer was defrauded, and he has a choice either to cancel the transaction or to get a refund of the shtus that he was defrauded. And since the Mishnah only brought a case where the buyer was defrauded, right now the Gemara feels that the only time that this would be applicable is only when a buyer is defrauded and not where a seller is defrauded, and therefore the Gemara asks, Mani Mastisin, who is the Tana of our Mishnah, Lo Rav Nosson, V'lo Rav Yehuda Nasi, L'chair is not going according to Shita Rav Nosson, and the Mishnah doesn't fit in according to Shita Rav Yehuda Nasi, as E Rav Nosson, Mastisik Tani Ratzo, Brice like Tani Ratzo, and certainly our Mishnah can't be Rav Nosson, because our Mishnah states that the buyer has the ability to decide what he wants to do, and he has a choice, and Zyada Al Yoyna, Rav Nosson stated in the Brice, that Shtus Kano, Machse Oyna, and the buyer doesn't have this choice, the din is clear that Shtus Kano, Machse Oyna, and the Gemara also states, E Rav Yehuda Nasi, and if our Mishnah is going according to Shita Rav Yehuda Nasi, Mastisin Tani Lekeach, the Mishnah only speaks about the Lekeach having this choice, and Brisek Tani Meicha, and the Brisek on Daf Nun Amud Beis brings down the Shita Rav Yehuda Nasi B'negeya Meicha, and as the Brisek stated, Rav Yehuda Nasi Oimer Yad Meicha Al Yoyna Rotz Oimer Oitenli Mechi Oitenli Mashin Anisani, and therefore we see Rav Yehuda Nasi only said this din B'negeya Seller, and the seller has the upper hand, and he didn't mention this din B'negeya Buyer, and our Mishnah discusses a case where the buyer has the upper hand, and the Gemara continues Simon Zav Rash Am Rav Elazar. Rav Elazar states Oinazu Eni Yedei Mishana, our Mishnah that speaks about Oina. I'm not sure who actually learned this Mishnah, as it doesn't fit in according to Rav Nosson, and it doesn't fit in according to Rav Yehuda Nasi. However, Rabba Oma, Rabba states L'Olam Rav Nosson, that really our Mishnah is going according to Shita Rav Nosson. V'Tani Nami Rebraisa Ratzah, and in Chanami in the Braisa, we would actually have to say the word Ratzah according to Rav Nosson, and the buyer does have the upper hand. Keep in mind that according to Rabba, we don't have any Shita that holds that's just Kano Machzer Na, and everyone agrees that the buyer or the seller has the upper hand, and the only Machlekes between Rav Nosson and Rav Yehuda Nasi is Rav Nosson holds the buyer is the one that has the upper hand, and Rav Yehuda Nasi holds that the seller is the one that has the upper hand. However, of course, Rava couldn't give this teretz, as Rava previously stated that we have a man the that holds that's just kano machzer na, and therefore Rava Amar Rava says lo ilum Rav Yehuda Nasi. Really, our Mishnah is going according to Shita Rav Yehuda Nasi. Umay the shayv masisa come and farish bebraisa, and our Mishnah was talking about the buyer having the upper hand. And then in the braisa brings down that this din of our Mishnah that mishahutul lov yada al yana, and whoever was nisana has the upper hand. That doesn't only apply to the case of the Mishnah where the buyer was defrauded, but it also applies to the case where the seller was defrauded. And that's why in the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda spoke specifically about a seller, and Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi Eimah, Yad Meicha Al Yoyna, Ratza Eimah Leitenli Mechri, Leitenli Mashen Isani. However, it's clear from our Mishnah that we're talking about a buyer and a seller, because the Mishnah said, Mishahutul Lov Yad Al Yoyna, and it didn't actually mention the buyer, and the Mishnah was only giving an example of a buyer, but of course that din would apply to the seller as well. And the Gemara states, Amar Rav Ashi, and Rav Ashi explains, Dekinamin, I'll bring a raya that Rav is correct, Diktani, as we learned in our Mishnah, Echad Lekech Echad Abicha, that both the buyer and the seller have the din Aina, Umefarish Lekech, and then at the end of the Mishnah, we only speak about the din of Aina, Benegeya Baya, Shema Minah, Shiri Shire, Lemaicha, Shema Minah, and therefore we see that the Mishnah was just leaving out the case of a seller, but certainly the same din would apply where the seller was defrauded, and the seller would have the upper hand, and he could either decide to cancel the transaction, or could demand that the buyer give him the extra shtus, as Rabbi Yehuda Nasi clarifies in the Braisa. And the Gemara continues, Itma we learned a similar sugya in Mesechlis Makis on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, B'negei Adin of Masna Mash Kasa B'Teira, Ha'im L'Chaveh Amnashe Ein L'Chalai Elna, if Reuven says to Shimon that I'm selling you this item on condition that you don't have a claim against me for Ena, Rav Amar Yesh Le'Elav Ena, Rav says that you can't make such a t'nai, and Shimon would still be able to have a claim that he was defrauded, and Shmuel Amar, and Shmuel says, Ein Le'Elav Ena, that he would not have a claim for Ena, as his t'nai would be Kayim, and the Gemara says, Le'im Rav, the Amar Rameo, Shmuel the Amkar Yehuda. Let us say Rav is going according to Shita Rameo, and Shmuel is going according to Shita Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya, as we learned in Baisa, Ha'im Elisha Rei Mekudeshesli, that if Reuven says to Rachel that I want to be Mekadeshu, Al Menash In Lachalai, She'er Kisus Vayna, on condition that you don't have a claim against me, poured or for clothing or for my Chiyav of Tashmish, Ha'rezu Mekudeshesu, Tanai Batol, Div Rameo, Rameo hold that all the Tanayim are Batol, and even those Tanayim that are relevant to Mammonis are going to be Batol, but the Kedushin is Chal, and over here also Rav states that the Mekach is Kayim, however the claim Vayna would still be valid, and Rabbi Yehuda Imeh B'davish Ramam in Tanai Kayim, Rabbi Yehuda says, at least B'negei Asher Ksus, the Tanai is Kayim, cause one can make a Tanai in Davish Ramam, and as Rashi says, Leim Rav Da'am Karmeya, Da'am Masla Masha Kaz Bateria, Tanai Batal, Afilu B'davish Ramam, Rabbi Yehuda Imeh B'davish Ramam, Kagoyin Asher Ksus, Nita L'mechila V'arei Machla, L'maisa Rachel was Michael, Avol Eino Shiit Tzahar Guf, Loi Nita L'mechila, and the Gemara continues, Om Lecha Rav, Rav will explain, I know Da'amri Afilu Rabbi Yehuda, my sheet is even according to Rabbi Yehuda, and potentially B'negei Kedushin, I could hold like Rabbi Yehuda, as Ad Kamli Kam Rabbi Yehuda Hasam El Di Yada V'Kam Machla, as B'negei Kedushin, Rachel knew that she was entitled to sharing Ksus, and Reuven said to her that even though you know that I have responsibility to give you sharing Ksus, but I want you to be Meichlet, and therefore she had the ability to be Meichlet, and that's why B'dav Shem Mammon is Tanai Kayim, and we continue on Daf Nun Alef and Beis, Aval Hacha Mi Yada De Machal, but in our case, B'negei Oina, it's quite possible that the buyer or seller did not know that they were being defrauded, and as Rashi says, who suffered the Imbayana, that he thought that there was no price for it over here, and therefore Rav hold that Bistamma there isn't Bechila, who Shmuel Amar, and Shmuel states, I know that Amri Afil Rameya, that my din B'degeyina could even be going Lepita Shita Rameya, because Ad Kanle Kam Rameya Hasam El Devadi Ka'aka, that over there B'degeyya Kedushin, Rameya says that you can't make a Sita Tanai, because certainly going to be Eika the Chiyav of sharing Ksus, but over here, when you made Sita Tanai, who said you're going to be Eika any din Taira, as potentially there is no price for it in this transaction? And Rashi points out, B'negeyya Kedushin, Devadi Aka B'shasa Tanai, Eika Divrei Taira, She'atil of Sher Ksus Vayna, at the time that you made Sita Tanai, you're definitely being Eika the Devat Taira, because the Taira says you have a Chiyav to do Sher Ksus Vayna, V'zeh Eika Chayv Me'alav. Reuven is trying to uproot these obligations from himself. And Rashi is bothered that how could the Gemara say that it's Devadi Aka, but it's possible that Reuven will actually go and give a Sher Ksus Vayna while they're married, and he just said that you don't have an obligation to do so. And Rashi points out, V'afilu Nois La'achaz Man, Matana Ba'almuhu, it's not based on his obligation, but it's a Matana Ba'almu, and therefore, when the Gemara says, the Vade Ka'aka, the Gemara is 100% correct. And the Gemara continues, Amar Rav Anan explains, L'didim Mifesh Eliminei De Mashmuel, that Shmuel himself explained the following to me, Ha'im L'chaveo, Menashe In L'chalaya Na, that if someone says to his friend, that I'm selling this on condition, that there is no claim right now, then In L'chalaya Na, and as Rashi says, K'depricious to me Yeme De Akar, and therefore, the Tzai is Kayim. However, if one party says to the other, that I'm selling this or buying this on condition that there is no actual price fraud, then ultimately there is price fraud. Therefore, the dinim of Ayna apply. And Rashi explains, this is not a lashon of mechila and not a lashon of tfiyas ayna. And therefore, it's a mamish of mekach tois. And even if it would be exactly the six, then the buyer or the seller could be Chayzal Gamri, because ultimately he said that I'm buying this on condition that there is no price for it at all. And the Gemara continues, Meisvei will ask a question from a Braisa, and this question will be on the way that we explain the Shita of Rav. And the Braisa will be discussing a case where someone gives an agent an item, and he tells the agent to go and sell it, and he trusts that the agent will get the best price, and whatever price that the agent will get, that will be the price that he will accept. And when the agent will actually sell the item, the agent will give all the money to the seller, and the agent will be entitled to a small fee, which Rashi calls schar tirchai. The Braisa states, "Hanoisiv anoisim ba'mana." If someone is transacting business through this trust factor, and he is the agent of the seller, or if someone says to a friend, "I'm selling this to you, or I'm buying this on condition that there is no claim of ayna, and there will be a mechila on any ayna," then there is no din of ayna. And certainly, the second din of the Braisa is quite clear that since he made a condition that in therefore, the din of Ayna doesn't apply. And of course, the second part of the Braisa seems to be exactly the Shita of Shmuel and not like Rav. And Rashi explains the first din of the Mishnah that since he was Naisiv and Naisiv Ma'amana, therefore the seller can't go to the agent and claim that really you should have sold this for more money, and he doesn't have any right to make a claim against the agent. In addition, if the agent is able to sell this item for a higher price, then the agent can't go to the seller and tell him that you're only entitled to the going rate of this item and not more than that. And of course, the main point of the Gemara is from the second part of the Braisa that Rav the Oman, not the Amri, Afilu Rabbi Yehuda, Hamani, according to Rav that said that my sheet is even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who stated with the Gei Kedushin that Tnai is Kayim, but that was specifically with the Gei Kedushin because the Yadav the Kamachla, as Rachel knew that there was a right for She'er Ksus, and therefore she was Baichel. However, over here, with the Gei Aina, Miyada the Kamachal, and Lachir Lefi Rav, who is the Tana of this Braisa, and the Gemara answers, Amabaya Machvata, Rav Amakrameo, Shmuel the Amakrab Yehuda, and therefore Abaya says that based on this Braisa, we see that it has to be that Rav actually holds like Rameo, and he holds that when someone's Master Master Kasbateria, even B'davish Mammon, the Tnai is not Kayim, and this Braisa is specifically going like Rabbi Yehuda, that even with the Gei Aina, and even though the person did not know if there will actually be an Aina, that they still are going to be Meichel, and since it's Davish Mammon, therefore the Tnai is Kayim, and Lachir, it's a bit Sarach Bia, why Abaya says, Machvata, that Rav Amakrameo, Shmuel the Amakrab Yehuda, as Ein Chinami, we have to say, Rav holds like Rameo, but potentially Shmuel could be saying his din, even coined Rameo, Bitzarach Bia. And the Gemara continues, Rav Amar and Rav states, Loi Kasha, that's really not a question on Rav, as really Rav could say that this Brisa is even going according to the Shita, as Kam Bistam, Kam Mfarash, that in the Brisa we're talking about a case where Reuben actually specified that there is a Na, and therefore it was Yada, and therefore there was Mechila. And when Rav stated his din, that Benegei Na, that Mechila doesn't apply, that is the case where it was Bistam, and they didn't know that there would be Oina, and therefore Miyada de Machal. And as the Gemara continues, the Tanya, as we learned in the Braisa, B'med V'rumu B'stam, that the only time that we said that there is a din of Oina, and you can't make a Tanai, is only when you sold the item and it was Stoma, and you didn't know that there was actually Oina. Of Avabim Farish, if you actually explicitly state that there is Oina, and as the Gemara explains, Meichesha Amul Lekech, that the seller says to the buyer, Chepetze Shani Meichelach B'Masayim, that you should know that this Chepetze I'm selling you for $200, Yoideni B'Yishayin Shabal Amona, I know that it's only valued at $100, and Almanash Ein Lechalayana, I'm still selling it to you on condition that you won't have a claim against me for Aina. So the din is Ein Lechalayana, then you can't come back with a tain of Aina. Zalfi Rabbi Yehuda, B'davish HaMam, and Tanai Kayim, and over here he knew about it, and therefore he could be Michael. And the Brisa continues that the same din applies when the seller is the one that was being defrauded. And as the Brisa says, V'chein Lekeach Sha'amal HaMeicha, and the same din would apply when a buyer sells to the seller, Chepizeh Sheni Lekeach Mimcha B'mana, that this item that I'm about to buy for you for $100, that Yodei Ani Bai Sheshav Masayim, that I know that it's actually valued at $200, and therefore we both know that I'm underpaying you, Almanash Ein Lecha Alayana, and even so I'm making conditional that you won't have a claim against me for the Ayana. So in this case, since the seller understood that he was going to be paid a lower price than the prevailing price, therefore certainly he was Meichel, therefore the seller can claim that there was Ayana. And the Gemara continues, Tanur Rabbanan, that we just spoke about the dinim of a Noisiv and Nosiv Ba'amana, that there's someone that's an agent for a seller, and he takes an item from the seller and he goes and sells it at a later time, and neither the seller or the agent could have any tainus on each other. And the Braisa will discuss the case of an agent as it would apply to the din of ribbis, as Hanoisiv Hanoisiv Mamana, if Reuven tells his agent Shimon, I'm giving you two items to sell, one is a better item and it's much easier to sell the item, the item that I'm going to give you will be much harder to sell and it may take you much longer to get the proper price. Usually Reuven would give the merchandise to Shimon and Shimon would sell it, give all the money to Reuven, and Shimon would just be entitled to a fee. However, Reuven wants to incentivize Shimon to get the best price for both of his qualities of merchandise. And for example, we had one barrel of wine which was better quality and could be sold immediately, and he has a second barrel of wine that he can't sell immediately. In order for Shimon to get the best price for the second quality of wine, he would have to sell it slowly a little bit at a time. And since he's not selling it in bulk, so he'd get a better price. In order for Reuven to incentivize Shimon to do so, he tells Shimon that you don't have to bring me my money for any of the sales until you actually finish selling the second barrel of wine. And the Gemara tells us that Reuven can't do so, and I raise that lo yechashav aserah b'amana v'aseryav b'shava, because then as Rashi says, that Reuven is telling Shimon, I won't pay you a fee, and the fee is the fact that you have use of my money until the point that you sell the second barrel of wine. And therefore, it's similar to ribbis. And therefore, the din is either Reuven has to tell Shimon that you could sell it by mana, and whatever price you will get, then that is the price that you'll have to give me, or Reuven can tell Shimon that I'm giving you these two barrels of wine at a specific price, and any price that you receive over that, you could keep. And the Braisa continues that when Reuven gives Shimon merchandise in order to sell by mana, and all the profits will belong to Reuven, and Shimon will only get a fee, and Shimon will keep his fee, and Shimon can also deduct any amount of money that he had to pay in order to hire a laborer to carry these items for him. And in addition, if Shimon had to rent a camel or he had to rent a donkey driver, then he would be able to take off this expense as well. In addition, he would be able to take off any hotel expenses as well. The Lamaise's own wages for going and being metapel with his item, he can't take off and he can't deduct, because that's already included in the standard fee that the agent will receive. And the Gemara is, Schari Mishalim, the Gemara just stated that the agent received his entire fee, and the Gemara is, where do you get this fee from? Amar Papa, and Papa explains, Bitsidruye, that for example, the Bryce is talking about certain types of clothing, the Yavi Abolameya, that the standard price for an agent is to take a 4% fee, and therefore the fee already includes any labor that he put into selling these items, and therefore he can't take any additional money for that labor, and he can only deduct either for someone else's labor or for renting a gummel or for his hotel accommodations. And Rashi explains, Bisidruye, Mechir Big the Canvas, we sold canvas begotten, and Shekvakotz of Lohem, Litin Abolomeya, Lemisha Tereach Bemechirasan, and there was a set price of $4 per 100, meaning 4%, for any agent that sells these items on consignment and that takes the responsibility to go and sell these items. And we will stop over here.